So we read a moment ago in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11. The writer of Hebrews, who we don't know, wrote these chapters about this matter of faith. When you watch these children give testimony of Ruth and Naomi and Noah and Jonah and Paul, all of these characters, all of these people in the Bible understood faith. They all had a journey to come to that place of faith, but they got there. And we revere their testimony. We revere them and are encouraged by their faith as we try to capture the essence of what it means to have, what it means to get faith in these days. I was watching through the channels the other evening on the television, and Morgan Freeman, who's got that million-dollar voice, he's made a whole career out of a voice, was on a television series called Down the Wormhole. It's a science channel story. And I wasn't really paying attention. I wasn't intending on watching the show. But when you cruise through the channels and you hear Morgan Freeman, you just want to stop, because that sounds like a guy that has something to say. And I wish I could have quoted exactly what he said in introduction to this matter of pursuing science and understanding the universe as we know it. But in essence, what he said was this. He said, "We believe that people on the earth just exist, and that the role of people is to find your own purpose in life." And so I kind of sat there on the chair and I listened to that for a moment, and I thought, you know, that sounds really good because it's packaged in Morgan Freeman's voice. But after I meditated on that for about 30 seconds, I kind of sat up in my easy chair and I said to the television, "Hey, buddy, good luck. Good luck. That's not going to work. That's absolutely 180 degrees in conflict with what the Word of God teaches. The Word of God teaches that all of this universe is created by Him." And by the way, it's not just an alternative teaching. It is the teaching. All of this universe is created by Him. And we're not important enough on the planet to determine our own purpose. God, who is bigger than us, who's as big as the last speck of detail on the end of the universe, has determined from before the foundation of the world to determine your purpose and my purpose as it brings pleasure to Him. In Hebrews chapter 11, 6, it says, "Without faith, it is impossible to please Him." Hear me again clearly, friends. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. It doesn't please Him for us to determine our own purpose. It doesn't please Him for us to determine that we are the center of our universe, no matter how wonderful it sounds when the presentation is made. So this whole matter of getting faith, how do we come to grips with this? Because I meet so many people who wrestle with this matter of getting faith. Well, part of the answer was presented a moment ago when these children, who by nature, according to the scripture, are demonstrating childlike faith, they haven't been polluted by the culture in the world. They have a trust. They have a knowledge of things of faith, and they are inspiring to us. And when they give testimony of the heroes of the faith that we can be inspired by, who have come to their place of learning and experience, then you and I as well can follow after their learning in order to more fully understand what it means to get faith. Well, just briefly, in the few minutes that we have remaining today, I want to answer the question a couple of ways. How do we get faith? And I want to give us four answers today from the passage that we read a moment ago. First of all, we get faith by test and by trial. You see, God allows us to test Him to see if He can be faithful to us. When we go through matters of life and we don't know what to do, when we are brought to the corner and we don't know which way to turn, when we come to those crossroads and we wonder what to do, God carefully positions Himself as a solution. And He says to us, "See if I will not respond to you. See if when you pray to me, I won't give you an answer. See when you respond to me, I won't come to you with the solution that is the best plan of your life, whether you understand it or not." And we come to those places. God, what do I do now? Even if we don't believe in God, there are those times when we give God a try or give God a chance and see if God can prove himself faithful to us. He tells us to do that over and over in Scripture. He continually communicates with us this matter of prayer. He continually communicates with us the necessity of us talking to him about the matters of life, great and small. We were talking the other day at our graduation family reunion event about raising children and how our oldest daughter, when she was little, we tried to figure out a way to teach her how to go to bed at night by herself. And we would put her in the crib and we would walk out the door and we would sit by the door and she would cry and we would pray and hope she would go on to sleep. And it was 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 4 minutes, 5 minutes. You know the drill. I tell you what, I said in the room when we were talking, you're never closer to God than when you're sitting outside of a door of a crying child hoping they'll go to sleep. And at that point, you communicate with him and he responds by faith. Eventually, we learn how God is interested in even matters like that. And so when we go through putting God to the test, God teaches us that he is able and faithful to respond to us. Sometimes we have to go through trial. Sometimes that trial is of our own choosing. We willfully choose to do wrong. And the truth of it is, friends, let's go ahead and just lay it on the table and confess it. Let's lay it right here on the altar. We have all done that over and over again. We have caused our own trouble. We have sinned against God. And the truth of it is, and God in his justice could have a long time ago said to you and me, zap, 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 I'll start over with some others who might be better. But he doesn't do that, does he? He instead comes to us by grace and he gently works us in faith through that trial of our own choosing and shows us a better way. Sometimes, somebody can get an amen here, sometimes stuff just happens. It just happens. I didn't do anything about it. I didn't do anything for it. I didn't cause it. I just am here. And at that point, I have to make a choice of either crying out to God in my desperation and in my terrible circumstance, or shaking an angry fist at God and blaming him for the circumstance that I'm in. I would recommend to you today that blaming God isn't going to get us anywhere. Crying out to God, no matter how desperate a matter is the only solution for God to teach us what it means to be a people of faith. And so when we understand this matter of faith, we can understand it by testing God, or we can understand it by trial. When you look all through the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 11 particularly, it becomes a hall of fame of the faithful of God. It lists right there in chapter 11 of how Abel gave a better offering than Cain and made himself pleasing before God. How Enoch walked with God and was not because God took him. How Abraham, by faith, responded to the call of God and just got up from where he was and went to the place that God would show him. By faith, Sarah, at almost 100 years of age, believed that God would give her a child, and God bore her a child that became a significant player in the story of God bringing Jesus to the world. All of these, as it says in verse 13, died in faith, having not received all of the promises, but seeing them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. In other words, as was quoted in the passage a moment ago, they saw evidence of things not seen. They saw things that worked in God's plan that were to come about. They saw Jesus, if you will, the promise, the completion of all of this, even ages and ages before. And they did so by faith. Not only do we get faith by test and by trial, secondly, we also get faith by trying, by simply trying. When we come into the Lord's house for worship, the leadership and the membership have a responsibility to discover God in the moments of worship by expressing with children in the celebration of God's goodness, and by music and by prayer and by preaching and by teaching and by fellowship and by connection and by the disciplines of life and about loyalty to one another and about praying for one another and all of the components, all of the components of worship are to be learned here. And sometimes we don't get it. Sometimes it's not easy to understand, but we grow in our faith by trying. We grow in our faith by risking. We grow in our faith by being vulnerable. We grow in our faith by being honest with one another. We grow in our faith by trusting people who say they care about us and prove that they care about us over a period of time. And we come together in that way in worship. We try as we pray. Lord, I don't know what to say today, but I'm going to try anyway. And we have those kinds of prayers. Lord, I'm frustrated like you have no idea, God, but I've got to talk to somebody about it. And I don't need to take it out on my wife or my husband. Lord, I need to talk to you. And we try to see if God's there. We commune with him and we keep on trying. Faith grows over time. And the trying takes time. You know, there are people who show up in the church with the trouble and difficulty of life and they want a magic formula when they get here today. It doesn't always work that way, my friend. God works it out over time in your life and the discipline of trying and trying and trying so that there is that faithful moment of breakthrough when the light bulb goes on, the Spirit is ignited, and you and I begin to realize that God really is who He says He is. And He shows Himself to be faithful to us. We also get faith by testimony. By testimony. You look at these people in the scriptures that were listed about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Noah and Jonah and, you know, on and on you go. The whole point of the Bible is to read their story and how they came from where they weren't to where they were because of their interaction with God in their story and in their moment. And those are timeless truths of real people. They're not just fables or legends or alternative stories. They are the story. And we get faith by the testimony of those who are the heroes of the faith. We also get faith by the testimony of one another. Even in our own congregation, when we watch people graciously go through things like cancer and difficulties in families and financial reversals and heartaches and heartbreaks and losses and separations of families and on we go, and we watch those around us handle it with a faith that could not come from our own strength. It could not come from within. Someone would have to observe there's something different about that person. There's something unusual about their grace under fire, their difficulty going through the trial of time. You get faith by testimony. And hopefully, my friend, as you begin to get faith, you begin to understand the responsibility of your testimony, the responsibility of knowing that you are being watched, that you are being marked and measured, and have a responsibility to be an inspiration to others so that others can get faith. But here's the hard part of the message. Ultimately, you get faith. You can talk about Abraham all you want. You can talk about the testimony of others all you want. You can talk about answered prayers all you want. You can talk about cover to cover the Word of God, the Scriptures, all you want. But ultimately, you must get faith. It's personal. It's private. It's individual. It's you and God. It's you and Jesus. It's in the dark of the night. It's in the duck blind. It's in the deer stand. It's on the road. It's at the hospital bed. It's in the prison cell. It's in Sunday school. It's in big church. It's wherever it is. But ultimately, you must get faith. It seems like a foreign concept to us. But if you think about, I don't know if any of you have ever done it, but if you think about bungee jumping, jumping off a bridge with a rubber band around your ankles, there's that moment, if you're going to do it, where you believe that the rubber band is going to hold you and you're not going to plunge to your death at the bottom of the ravine. And you practice faith. More benign than that, you'll leave here this noon or right before and get in your car and drive to wherever you need to be next, and you will be practicing faith. You'll practice faith in the vehicle. It has probably 25,000 parts all working in mesh with one another. You'll get on a road with all kinds of other people that are hopefully practicing the same faith as you are. You'll obey the stop signs and you'll drive, and it'll be a benign experience of you going to lunch or going home. And yet from the moment you turned that key and you drove down the road, you were practicing faith. Well, bungee jumping and driving a car can help us understand this matter of trusting Jesus. At some point, if you've never trusted Jesus, at some point it becomes a matter of you personally getting faith. Maybe your testimony would be, I can't take it anymore. Well, that's a valid testimony. That's an I surrender testimony. Or maybe it's, I've tried everything else. I'm going to give Jesus a try. That's a valid testimony. I need help, and that's a valid testimony. This matter of faith is hard to grapple with. It's hard to get a handle on. But it also is of great value, and it becomes the life change moment of life when you get faith. This past week, I was in a hotel room and somewhere. I don't honestly remember where I was, and in the middle of the night, I couldn't sleep. I rarely can't sleep at night, but I couldn't sleep at night, and I woke up at 2 in the morning, and I'm wrangling over this matter of explaining faith. It's like explaining a cloud or something. It's just hard to get a grasp on it. And in the middle of the night, not able to sleep, I scurried around on the internet, and I found a blog by a lady by the name of Nicole Cliff, and I thought, well, there she captured it. It's printed in the bulletin. It's worth a read. Most of it there, I took a few excerpts out, but it's worth a read. But basically, this is what she said. She said that she was an avowed atheist. Ironically, as you read through the article, as you read through the story, she had a belief system, even if it didn't believe in God, because she articulated that she believed in atheism. So even then, she was putting her faith in something. And the story goes that she got married and she had children, and one of her children went through a sickness and a difficulty, and things were kind of more than she could bear. And she said she remembered walking in a room to deal with her sick child, and she articulated out loud, "Be with me." She didn't believe in God. She knew there wasn't a God, but she just found herself speaking out loud, "Be with me." And it was the beginning of faith, because a God that she didn't believe existed was there to be with her. She said after she spoke that, she began to be increasingly frustrated, because it began to be clear to her that there was somebody on the other end of that "be with me" that actually was responding to her. I love what she said in the middle of the article. She said in the middle of it, she decided to write an email to a friend and ask some questions about this Jesus. And she said as soon as she hit the send button, she regretted sending it, because she knew that who she sent that email to would be quick to respond to her and tell her everything she wanted to know about Jesus. By the way, I hope that you and I who have faith would be that kind of person at the other end of the email. And she knew within the hour that person was going to call her back and begin to tell her about Jesus. She said, in the time before the email responder called me back, she said, I began to cry. I brushed my teeth and I cried. And I went in the kitchen and I cried. And I put on my shoes and I cried. And I got ready for the day and I cried. She said, I just kept crying and crying and crying and crying. And by the time my friend called me, I already had Jesus. And she said, it messed up my perfect, happy, atheistic life. And she went on to say in her testimony that's the best thing that ever happened to her. Because even without really trying, she got faith. You see, the Lord will do anything He can to get in your heart so that you can have faith, even if you declare that He doesn't even exist. But you must respond by faith. So I'm going to ask you today, as plainly as I can, and as standing before the children who've already given testimony, have you gotten faith? If you haven't, today's the day to get faith. It's the most fearful, most unbelievable, most spiritual bungee jump moment that you'll ever experience in your life. And once you get faith, you will say, why in the world did I wait so long? Why in the world did I hesitate at all to come into faith?